Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Thursday, October 8th, 2020, and we are recording a little bit earlier today.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and much, much more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform.
All right, up first, Justin Sun wants people to use Tron's suite of DeFi tools, and they sound a lot like Ethereum.
We all want things, Justin. I want my Lamborghini that I've been promised for so long. They're just ripping off the Ethereum protocol. This is going to be the move. Just so like everyone's on the same page here, though, the move for the next, I love price predictions. I'm not going to make a price prediction, but I'm going to make a tech prediction. The move for the next 12 to 18 months for any chain that is not Ethereum is to basically port over the EVM, the Ethereum virtual machine, or at least do a transpiler for Solidity so that people who are putting tons and tons of time into building stuff on top of Ethereum can get onto your blockchain. Ethereum is winning the developer race. It is hard. I think I've mentioned this before. It is super hard to write smart contracts well. Like I think that goes very underappreciated in the community, but it is super hard to write these things well. And the tooling that's being developed for Ethereum, the languages, the static analyzers so that you are finding bugs in your code and security vulnerabilities, the expertise in, there's all these weird attacks that you have on blockchains that you don't have anywhere else. And we've talked about like front running is one of them, but there's all these other ones. There's such weird stuff that you can do on blockchains. There's one called a re-entrancy attack where someone calls your smart contract function recursively. All this stuff is so complicated. You're learning it. You're going to want to end up learning it once. So what that means is that all of the engineers, I mean, there's not more than 1,000, if even that, smart contract Solidity engineers out there right now. So all the work that they're doing is going into Solidity. They are not going to want to go and learn whatever, whatever EOS is, languages, and how it all works. They're going to want to keep on building for Solidity, for the EVM, with the way the constraints are working. So you're going to see people just forking that and moving it over to their own platforms and hoping they can get, and then adding additional capabilities or features to kind of make their platform more accessible. So this is essentially, that's Tron's approach here, is they're going to just start moving the EVM features over, potentially even have full support for the same EVM pieces to try to make Tron more approachable. I don't know. Good luck. I think it's cool. I love competition in this space, but I think Ethereum's won this. And if I were these guys, I would be looking at other clever stuff on top of Ethereum right now, rather than, kind of working on my own protocol. But I can see it either way, because, for some of these protocols, they are the biggest miner also. So any amount of value coming out of the chain, they're just getting straight as revenue. So that's, fine, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Okay, up next, Deputy Treasury Secretary said, that's for the U.S., that the administration is studying the potential of a central bank digital currency, CBDC, tied to the dollar.
Yeah, and they're studying the COVID, even though that's killed 200,000 people. I mean, like, this is such a dumb response from, this is such a in, it's the right word. This is a insincere response to China just getting a jump on the U.S. I mean, the U.S. has been so slow, and it is so dumb. Like, if you are the world's reserve currency, you need to be at the forefront of innovation around that. You can't have a deputy treasury secretary making a completely inconsequential comment, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before an election. That this is just so throwaway. It pisses me off. Like as an American, like it is, I want us to be putting more effort towards actually evolving our currency and getting closer to this. This is just throwaway. It just pisses me off so much that he said this. Yeah, I'm in a snarky mood today.
Yeah, pass riled up.
Yeah, got me going.
All right, next, Japan's largest online financial conglomerate, SBI Holdings, now owns two licensed crypto trading platforms because it just acquired TaoTao Exchange.
Yeah, I think the way to look at this would be if through an acquisition, Goldman, or maybe Chase is a better example, but one of the large financial institutions in America ended up owning Coinbase or ended up owning Kraken. It's nigh on, it's almost impossible to imagine that happening in America right now. Like the amount of ambiguity and regulation and the amount of regulation on the banking industry in general, when you overlay those Venn diagrams, you basically make it nearly impossible for a large financial institution in America to buy a crypto company, which sucks. I think that's really stupid. And it's weird. It is always weird for me when I see Japanese companies pushing the envelope on this stuff in the way and not American companies. Because honestly, Japanese companies are under a very, very strict financial, like in many ways, more so than America, a very strict financial regulatory environment. And if they're able to pull this off, then you have to ask yourself why we haven't seen Chase or one of the other big boys in America start getting into crypto for real. So I don't know. This just continues. Japan's been doing a very progressive, crypto progressive job attacking the crypto markets. And that's awesome. Like it makes me really happy. Like I like Japan. It's a great country. And I think the biggest complaint you can have about Japan is they tend to be overly conservative on a lot of regulation and social issues. So to see them taking a very progressive stance on something like cryptocurrency is really cool.
What other countries do you think have really progressive crypto policies?
Wasn't that the question right now? I mean, with the way the SEC is treating crypto companies in America, let's all be fair. BitMEX did some really bad things, but those guys probably deserve to go to, to be investigated and things like that. But it is the environment that has been created of uncertainty in America means that everyone is looking for other countries to go to. Obviously, you have a lot of you have countries like the Maldives, you have countries like Cayman Islands, places like that have done more to be more accessible and be more transparent with their rules. Gibraltar is another one. It's not really a country per se, but like the way they operate, they have their own set of laws that they can use. So it's weird. Like it is the countries that have been traditionally money laundering safe havens are getting in on the crypto thing, which I guess we should not be particularly surprised of. But even like, even the Singapore has done a very good job, because what people want is they don't necessarily care what the regulations are. They care that there are really clear regulations, that they're really well understood, and that if they're going to start working on a product in your country or a company in your country, you're not going to suddenly change your mind. So countries that came out way ahead of time and published really good regulatory guidance. Like the U.S., honestly, the only thing, there's been a couple of attempts by Congress to do a few bills, but really the only thing has been two opinion FAQ. I mean, you can only call them FAQs from the IRS about taxes on crypto. That has been almost the limit, plus a couple of SEC opinion pieces around this stuff. That is unacceptable for the world's largest economy to essentially not be taking a stance and taking sort of a see how it goes kind of thing. They need to be coming out and saying how they're going to apply the regulatory frameworks. And that's, so Singapore has done a really good job of that. Japan's done a really good job with that. China's done a good job with that, although they've just said that it's all illegal. So, I mean, that's even better than what US is doing with all the uncertainty and the indecision. So that's a good example of countries.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, last, Kyrgyzstan central bank suspends SWIFT to prevent outflow of capital. This is following some unrest and protests there.
Yeah, we probably should have staged this one right after the EU, the discussion of the EU, because from yesterday, we talked about the EU basically being concerned that they can't regulate DeFi. That's the whole point, because when you can regulate something, you do like this, where you basically are you're suspending all of your capital, capital egress in your country. I mean, that is horrific. If you are in a country with a collapsing economy, collapsing banking system, collapsing whatever, the last thing you want. I mean, you're essentially doing two things. You're causing a run on the banks. You're causing liquidity problems, and you're causing severe distrust in your central markets. So it's always the worst case scenario, but this is exactly why crypto exists. Like you have crypto, no one can stop. I guess I should even go further. This is why Bitcoin exists. Like when you have Bitcoin, no one can stop you moving your Bitcoin. There are satellites. You can ham radio your transaction and then use a satellite to pull it up on the other side of the world. No one can stop you from moving your coins in the same way. So this is these are the kind of things that are really going to cause the crypto shift and the crypto inversion, because God, that's terrible. People can't move their money out of Kyrgyzstan.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you as always for listening to the DeFi Daily.
Have a good one.